Blog Talk Radio.
Especially after I've already posted the Tavares's draft video twice now. I don't know if people just can't read or they don't watch stuff. If you don't read it, watch the video. But of course, one of our biggest problems as an Atlanta Hawks fan last year was the ability to rebound, lock out people. Opposing teams getting all kind of offensive putbacks, things of that nature. Yes, we were missing Al, but still, it's because we don't have a legit center to actually do that for real, for real. So Tavares being drafted is a big deal. He's 7'3". His wingspan is like 13 feet or whatever it is. And if you just – he's 7'3", and he can run the court. It don't look like he can run, but he can run. He ran up and down the court all day long. He blocks shots very easily. He knows how to recover. He knows how to be the basic center that you need to be, but he's 7'3", so everything is exemplified at that point, isn't it? That's what I think. But then at the end of the day, he can put back shots easily, and he has a jump shot. He doesn't use it because he doesn't need to, because you're 7'3", you should always be 5 feet away from, 5 feet away from the basket. However, if he had to, I think he could put something up there. But at worst, if he gets fouled going to the post, you can't hack a Tavares because he can actually shoot free throws. He has a great free throw percentage. So all those things alone says that he needs to go ahead and play this year. Stashing for a year doesn't do anything but encourage injury that can't be fixed, and all of a sudden you're trading him to another team like the Raptors. Anyway, going to be talking about NBA free agency. Who do you think the Hawks should get? We don't have that many choices, technically, because we really just don't really have that many free agents that are worth anything other than LeBron and Melo, for the most part, as far as the quote-unquote superstar part of things, where people still, want to have this superstar person come to Atlanta. Well, guess what? Ain't going to happen. We have to homegrown it. It didn't work with Joe Johnson, obviously. Wanted it to, but it didn't. And a homegrown just didn't get developed well because of the management and ownership that we had in the past. Marvin Williams, Josh Smith, so on and so on. The last 2 years, though, we have some great players, young players that could be our stars of the future. We have Al. He's a centerpiece still, if he comes back healthy. Okay, we got Jeff Teague. We got Mike Scott. We got John Jenkins. We have players that are on the come up have been within the organization since they started. We need to work that through all the way through to its fruition the best we can. But now we do have these new draft picks. You got Patterson, you got Payne, okay, Beefill needs, okay. We kept Perro, although I didn't agree with that. But we still have him, right? So at the end of the day, who can we get? Do we feel a need for the future? Do we feel a need for now? whether that be shooting guard or small forward. A lot of people keep wanting to, you know, knock Junkyard out the box. But I'm like, dude's scoring 10, 13 points a game. He could hit an open jumper. He could hit an open three. He could play defense. Why can't he start at the four spot still, at the three? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have to really go above and beyond to try to get someone. At the shooting guard, now that's open spot technically if John Jenkins just can't play. But we'll have to find that out. I think he can play. I think he'd be that shooting guard of the future. All shooting guards are not tall. Look at Monte Ellis. Look at Curry over there, even though he's a point guard, but he's still a guard that shoots a lot and hits a lot of buckets. How come nobody can stop him? He's small. So I don't care about this whole height thing or whatever in regards to John Jenkins. The boy can shoot. So where is it, you know, what's going to happen? I still say the best case scenario is keep everybody that we can and put extra people on the bench and make us the strongest bench in the NBA. That way you don't have any lulls, because one of the big problems we had also last year is these lulls that we had, but we open up great, then in the third quarter we disappear, or we don't do anything the first two quarters, and when we start into the last quarter we have to fight back and use all that energy. We don't need to be doing that no more. Now, of course, again, we had a lot of injuries last year, so that didn't help. However, the year before that it happened also. You know, now, again, we have coaching changes and whatnot now. Now we're going to have another whole year of the Bud system. Hopefully the defense will, you know, catch up. But I say we need to keep as many of our good players that we have that knows the system, put them on the bench. So that way when we have our five starters come out, we basically are putting another five starters. Why can't we do that? Why can't that be accepted? Because all I can say is the Miami Heat almost got swept this year with the best player on the planet doing supposedly everything he can do. Notice I took the dig at him. Cramp game. Because guess what? If he hadn't cramped that game, they could have won that game. They won game two. Would they have won game two? We don't know. But they could have went 2-0 going into Miami instead of 1-1. I'm just saying, that cramp just messed the whole thing up. And I'm really wondering if he really cramped. I don't know. I think he got some money off of that. Those are just my opinions. Again, this is an NBA show primarily. But I will go ahead and throw out there. The Braves won again. They've been scoring runs lately, surprisingly. And, of course, the World Cup. So, again, call in, 646-652-4479. Actually, we are calling now. I'm not even going to go to a break. I'm going to go ahead and pull them on and see what they have to say. Come on in, caller. How are you doing tonight? Hello?
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
I will hang up.
Hello?
When?
Hello, caller.
Hello?
Well, looks like the caller. Hello, caller. This is Chris. What's your name?
Hello? Can you hear me, Chris?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, man, I didn't know they put me on there. I'm sorry. That's my bad, dog. It's Scott Hayes, man.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, man? Yeah.
I'm good, bro.
I
thought you had another call, brother.
No. I was just running through topics and whatnot. That's all.
We on the Braves tonight, bro?
Yeah, the Braves won tonight. Kimbrough got another save, the second one in a row. Beat the Mets, and the Braves are actually looking pretty good. What do you think?
I think they're looking real good, man. I'm liking La Stella at second.
Yeah, that was a lineup change that I think had to happen. I know Gattis is hurt, though, for a little bit, so you had a call-up from AAA for him. And if anyone noticed, there is a lineup change, actually, where Chris Johnson is a little bit lower in the lineup now. And it's actually good that BJ is hitting. So, I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, they're still in first place. And my whole worry was, you know, would they waste all the starting pitching and Craig Kimbrell again? And now that they're finally starting to score some runs, you know, it's really helping out. So we'll see what happens going into the All-Star break. But the Braves are picking it up finally.
Yeah, I got a question for you, man. How you feel about the rotation, though? You think it's going to hold up for the year, or you think we need to add an arm or what, bro?
Well, see, my whole thing has been with this rotation is that, one, of course, we have people hurt right going into spring training. And then, you know, a month or two into the season, we lost a couple more arms. So we've been kind of going back and forth, trying to get people off the waiver wire, this kind of stuff. Going into the All-Star break, I think it's really going to be dependent on the other people who are going to be coming off the disabled list. And will people continue to hit? Because, see, me, I think we have enough pitching to give up an arm to get a bat. Okay? And so, you know, for me, because, again, we have the best, basically, we have the best pitching in the National League as far as I'm concerned. We got the best closer in baseball. So if you can score 5 runs a game, we're going to win as per the winning streak we have. So it really, to me, I think we're going to end up still giving up an arm. But if we don't, it just depends on whether or not we can hit. And I say, you know, do we still, you know, call up some more people from AAA and give them a shot? Because if we can't get people to hit up here, why are we still letting them hit? We got to make a decision.
Yeah.
If we want to, you know. But that's my opinion as far as that goes. Are you looking at any other? Oh, did you get to watch the World Cup today?
I didn't, but I'm not much into soccer, bro. I can't get into it, man. Not my cup of tea, but I did see what the U.S. got put out, man. But
it's one of those things. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, as a nation, we haven't been caught up on, you know, the soccer sport, you know, as much as the other countries of the world. But this year has been pretty big, and you know, because just circumstances and whatnot. But they did what they could. How about the NBA? You a Hawks fan?
About what?
Are you an Atlanta Hawks fan?
What? Oh, I'm on
Hawks
Nation, bro. I'm on Hawks Nation.
This is Scott's guy.
Yeah.
Okay. See, look at his mentions. That's what I'm talking about on the show. Let me ask you this question, then. Let me ask you this question, because this is one that's been talked about in the room today about Tavares, our center that we got, and the basics of whether or not we should let him go overseas or let him play. Now, my argument is we already tried that once, and look what's happened. You know, and I'm, you know, of course, I'm one of the biggest Afro fans out there, and I swear, you know, I'm hoping he does some good up there in Toronto. But with Tavares, he completes a lot of stuff that we need. We need somebody who blocks shots, okay? We need somebody who actually will get defensive rebounds. And we need somebody who can run the floor. Now, I posted his footage twice now, yesterday and today, that he can do all those things. Those are just basic things that he needs to be able to do. Plus, he has a shot to where he can hit free throws. It means if he gets fouled, he can still score that way as well. And he doesn't have to start. He just needs to be able to spell whoever is starting, which probably in this case is what it looks like is going to be Perro, I guess. But what do you think about Tavares? Because like I said, just from the footage, I think he might as well get his experience here and help us now rather than wait for him.
Well, I've watched his highlights, man, and just looking at it, he does have mobility, and he does have size. It was something that Nogs didn't really have, man. You know, we sent Nogs over there to really get bigger and stronger. And Tavares, I mean, he looks like he's pretty fit already, man. So I think he's ready to not start, but I think he's ready to be on the bench and contribute that way. But.
Yeah, I think he can contribute. That's what summer league is for. That's what training camp is for. And we have a real staff. See, if this was 3 years ago we got this dude, yeah, definitely. No hose bar. He's going overseas. But at this point, I don't think we wait anymore, because if we want to win, and when now, I think he plays. So who do you think we're going to get as a free agent? Say it again? Keep going?
I was just going to say he got good mobility, I think, for a guy his size, man.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're 7'3", you're not going to move like, you know, Nick Van Exel or anybody. But he got good size, man. He got good lateral movement and –
He's quicker than Yao Ming. I'm gonna say that. Who do you think about free agency?
Free agency. That's a good question, man. I don't see us signing somebody. I keep looking at Ding, man. I keep hearing Ding, and he would be good in some ways, man, but I don't know. I don't know. I kind of have question marks about it. Other than that, I mean, Monroe, I really don't see him, man. I really don't. I don't know if he would fit into the flow of the offense. I don't know. He's not the best rebounder for his size either, man.
No, no. Well, as far as my whole take on it, I mean, in the real, we only have so many options just because the best two options, the odds of either of them coming, whether it be Bron or Melo, is very small. And then, again, you're looking at filling an actual need. And then money comes into play as well. And even with the trade of Lou being gone and whether or not you're going to re-sign certain players or whatever, we still only have a certain amount of money when it comes down to it. Other players are restricted, so for the most part, those are probably going to get re-signed by their teams. I really don't like Ding, Luol Deng, myself, not because of this. You know, he's still on the right side of the 30, but I don't know if he has the legs to. It don't look like he do. Maybe he just didn't want to play in Cleveland. I don't know.
That's what
but
I was
again,
thinking.
My whole, but my whole thing is really. If you're going to bring someone in, for sure, they got to either be as good or better than what we already have, period.
Yeah, well,
otherwise,
I keep hearing Parsons. You go ahead. Yeah, I keep hearing Parsons, but I don't see it, man. I don't see it.
Well, he's restricted. So, yeah, he's restricted, though. So more than likely, you know, he's going to get his money finally because I think he only made like $900,000 last year. So he's going to get his money,
yeah.
But I do know that there's a report that says, well, he'll go to any team that will pay him 12. Houston can pay him that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was saying earlier, you know, as far as players, you know, we have shooting guards. We have small forwards. If we're going to be looking to the future, you know, to get someone, that's fine. You know, that would definitely be in a trade or whatnot. But, again, it's about time that we have this homegrown talent be put into that superstar status. And I think that's already happening, especially with our coaching staff and circumstances and things of that nature. But, I mean, if we can get someone, you know, go for it. But I don't want the whole team gutted. I don't – not after what we had to go through last year. And seeing how successful we would have been if we hadn't have all those injuries, like we really would. For all teams that have ever been decimated by injuries, the Atlanta Hawks were decimated by injuries last year. You know,
I think all the Atlanta teams got hurt last year, bro.
Oh yeah. We forget the Falcons got killed. Braves and the Braves still won 90 something games last year. You know, so it's one of those things where we do want to have that period of time where we can have that person put us over the top. We're thinking that's still going to be Al, you know, but if it ain't, we need to know, you know. And like I said, I still say let's have us the best bench in basketball, keep as many of our players from last year as we can, and just put them on the bench. And that way we don't ever have a lull in between when the stars come out, you know what I'm saying? So, well, I appreciate you calling in, Scott. You threw out some good points there and some ideas, and hopefully we have some other we do have a couple other callers. Be sure to call in again next show. I'm probably going to do one later this week, so just keeping the loop on that, okay?
All right, bud. You have a good night.
All right, you too, man. Thanks.
All right, bud.
All right, everyone, that was Scott Dennis from the Atlanta Hawks Nation Facebook page. And just a reminder, I do have shows that I try to do at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. Just kind of depends. I do have a caller. I'm going ahead and pick them up to see who this is. Come on in, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Chris, what up, man? It's Jamal from Atlanta Hawks Nation. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, what's going on, Jamal? Long time no talk.
Yes, sir, man. Definitely had to get on tonight. You know, we got to talk about these Hawks, man, see what's going on down in free agency, sir.
Well, I'll go ahead and give it back to you as far as you kind of gotten the down and dirty there. What have you heard as of late in regards to any possible moves or even at least interviews as far as the Hawks go so far?
What I'm hearing right now is that definitely there is some interest, mutual interest with Greg Monroe, you know, the center out of Detroit, which to me, I'm really not thrilled about that because I don't see how he's a game changer. I don't see how he defensively can help this team. But, you know, it does give Al Horford the opportunity, if he's still here, to play power forward, which, you know, we've all been longing for that for the last, 20 years or something like that. So,
pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's something out there. Of course, you got the Luol Deng, which I heard, yeah, I caught the tail end of that conversation with you and Scott. Other than that, I'm hearing, like, Bazemore, the guy that I think he was in Golden State last year, or Milwaukee, somebody like that. But here's my thing, man. I really just feel like we got to – we're building this Spurs culture in Atlanta. So when I think of that, I look at how the Spurs, they were able to go 6-10 and not lose a lead. You know what I mean? You could put the bench guys in there, and not only would they keep the lead, but they would increase it sometimes. So it's kind of like you want to build an ecosystem around your star players. You see how Miami, their flaw in the finals was you got the big three or sometimes the big two, and you got nothing around that. So you got to build an ecosystem around these guys. You got to have guys that can play off your 1, 2, and 3 players.
Well, here, and you kind of go into something I was going to mention, depending on if I had time or not. It's a matter of if the Miami Heat before LeBron had a ring. So if they had never, ever, 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 ever won a ring again, would that have been all right? Or would they have traded that to say, okay, well, we get these rings, and then he goes, would that be acceptable to you? And you really have to kind of think about a question like that before you answer it. Now, we all know how Miami Heat fans are, and they don't even, again, don't know who Alonzo Mourning is, and, you know, they don't know anything, right? So, but it's one of the things, how much are you really to trade off to buy your rings? Because that's basically what they did, and it looks like they're going to try to do it one more time, possibly. But, again, look how much money has to be let go for them to even try to build something, and they got bit when they couldn't buy it anymore, you know. And so with here in the Hawks Nation, you know, we have pieces. Besides that, the more important thing, we have a system. And right. In business and in schools and any kind of thing that you look at as far as being successful, you have to have a system that works. And then the Hawks have one that, guess what, has been proven over 17 years and 5 championship rings now. So for me, it's a matter of let's go that route. I'd rather go that route than any other route at this point for what we've been experiencing, because we've never been out the freaking second round. That's just my take on that.
Exactly. And you got to think about longevity. I mean, like you're saying with Miami, yeah, you got a good 4-year run, but look at what they're doing now. I mean, they're practically begging players who are still in their prime, like Luol Deng, and I think they were also talking about Kyle Lowry from Toronto. They're asking these guys to take less money to come play for a franchise that's, you know, I could see if they won the last 4 championships, but they've gone 2 for 2. So it's no guarantee that they're going to win the championship. So you're basically calculating. It's a calculated risk because number one, you may not win the title, and number two, you know, how much can you pitch South Beach and King of Diamonds if you're into that kind of thing, and you know, all this and that. You know, guys at the end of the day, they want to get their money. They want to know that they're valued for what they bring to the table, and you can't just come to a dude and just say, yeah, I need you to take this much less than what you normally would get, because we may or may not make the finals this year. And as you can see in the Eastern Conference, you got teams that's coming, man. You got Atlanta's coming. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know what I'm saying, the East is not what it used to be. So it's no guarantee that they'll even make the finals, let alone win it.
There's no guarantee that LeBron is going to sign. And see, that's the scary part. Really, people have to even really, I don't know if they realize it yet, but all this hemming and hawing and everything, he still might not sign. And then what composition is Miami going to be in then? Because then they're stuck with whatever they got. And that's a scary thought for those Miami fans down there. It's like, what have we really gotten ourselves into at this point? Because literally, you know, if he don't sign back, they're never winning again. And I think they know that. You know, they're never going to have winning basketball. So I think this is like what, you know, maybe 5 months ago. I said that these playoffs and then the subsequent draft and then the subsequent free agent period is going to be the most important time in Atlanta Hawks history for obvious reasons.
Yes.
And that's starting to spell out to be true at this point. And if they finish this out, how we hope they finish it out, you know, successfully, I'm not going to say in details, of course, but we could have our, you know, momentum shift for the next 20 years. And the future looks bright all the way around. I mean, like I said, you can't go no wrong. And technically, we can't do no worse than we did this year. So,
I was telling guys, the people on Hawks Nation posted earlier, you know, for all this talk about, you know, we didn't sign anybody and we were disappointed last season, we signed the most, I kind of argued the point that we signed maybe the most, if not the most impactful free agent last year, the top three impactful free agents in Paul Millsap at a gravy contract. And people kind of gloss over that when they talk about, well, we don't get this guy, you know, it's a disappointment. You just got to let it play out, man. I mean, it's only July 1st.
Spurs almost swept the Heat. That's all I keep saying. I'm like for real, it's like, if you didn't watch any of those games, you really don't really technically have a right to really say anything intelligent, because all you have to do is watch those games. And you can watch the reruns on NBA TV every day now. And all you have to do is look at very detailed things. You could hit pause and everything now to be like, look at them. They blew them out. There's like, there was no doubt at all. And they barely won game two. You know, so, you know,
yeah.
Why not? We do the same thing because we have the pieces. And we borderline did it. Like I said, if we didn't have all the injuries, we were in third place. I think a lot of people forget that. And people want to overshadow it and want to say all kind of crap, but we were in third. We were playing very well. And we weren't doing nothing but getting better. And the injuries, and then Jeff T kind of, you know, did the okey-doke on us. But, again, if we come back full strength, we have all these new draft picks, whatever free agent we get, Al is completely healthy, and Jeff T plays like playoff Jeff T, there's not a lot of teams in the East that we can't beat. Okay? So I just wanted to – I'm glad you was able to give us a call in. And like I said, just be in tune with some other shows. Actually, I got time. Throw us out some Falcons info as far as what you think about the Falcons this coming season and what you think about the Braves real quick.
Okay, real quick. Definitely Falcons. I think it's going to be a bounce back year. I'm intrigued by the defensive addition. I'm intrigued by the offensive line draft pick and the also the free agency pickup for the Falcons. So, I think last year was an aberration. We had injuries. We had some other things that took place. Probably guys got a little complacent from the year before, but I think we're going to bounce back. Still got the best, I think, player-to-player roster in the NFC South. So I think big things for the Falcons. I'm going to hold my predictions for right now, but I do think they're going to make the playoffs. Braves, definitely going to be a good year. They're kind of up and down, but it comes with the territory. We just got to get guys on the same page. I look for them to be there in October. So that's nothing new. But quick shout-out, man. I know you're about to close your show. I am the host of the Dirty Word Show. Actually, Chris is a big contributor to that show. We're trying to get started back up. I've been kind of busy lately, but want to get my show started back up. We'll probably be on the air maybe sometime this month. Just got to get things lined up, man. But I appreciate you supporting that movement, man. Yeah, you're a big part of what we do.
No problem. All right, Lewis, we're going to let you go. I'm going to get in touch with you. All right, Jamal?
All right, man. Take care. Appreciate it.
All right, y'all. That's the show for tonight. We're going to talk to y'all later. Peace.
We'll be right back.